official?
Well, on what I call linguistic grids, which of the flesh are in these nuts. And I said all of that and wasted that much time to simply say, these myths that are together, it's not a bad thing to make that kind of thing, to see how that works. When we talk linguistic grids, that's getting me into some of the technicalities of how language works. And so, with those I have, I'm trying to remember what I have. I think I still have them on the computer. I don't see that. But they just give you an idea of the mixture. And then furthermore, there are other nasty words called the words of the flesh. And in my notes tonight, we have it. So this term is found 10 times. And when I say linguistic grids or clusters on number 4, you can see that this is found in 5, these words are found in 5 clusters. What does that do to us? That means we don't have a whole lot to work with in many ways. It's just part of the poetry lesson. We've got Revelation 1 and then Galatians 5. And interesting, most of them are in Grace Revelation, or just one in Matthew. So it's very much a word that Paul was concerned with, as you can see, because he is the only author in the New Testament that writes concerning this as far as the church. And so, and that just is under B2, not 2B, B2. And that matter, my definition of propensity to seek qualifications by finding differences and seeking to be contentious over them. How do you find a difference? Tonight I was very motivated to take my radio and put it somewhere else. It'll run at, I'll put it on sometime in the afternoon. And I decided I was not in the mood to listen to political speech. And I looked over to some Christian station on FM, and I heard parts of 2 messages. It's really interesting. I try not to look for the errors, but when you have premises that are not right, this one guy, he had a lot of good things to say, but he doesn't understand the whole book of Acts. And he was misapplying things out of Acts 4. And then the other guy, what did he have to, I don't know where he was. I didn't hear the introduction to that program. But it was interesting. I thought, there's a good reason I don't listen to Christian radio. And it's because I feel like I'm almost listening to this. Because the minute I pick up an error, I just about shut them off. And then all it does is make me a little bit unhappy. I had to run across from the last slide because I thought, if he's teaching some people, I wonder if is he giving him anything about it? So that was interesting, but I'm not in the fight, but I do see the differences and the problems with the way they handle scriptures in that matter. So this definition, this word always is evil. It's always involved with an evil connotation that sounds to a. This fleshly inclination to take an opposing view to anything just for contention or debate. We are living in somewhat more political atmosphere in some communities in our area where there are elected officials who do not want public input. Examples are Vancouver City Council, Portland City Council, Clackamas County, County Commission. I was at our meeting last night because I was really quite surprised. Mark addressed the city council last night for an hour. And I thought, that's kind of interesting because, this thing of gaveling down or preventing people from asking questions. And I heard a report, where was it? Today I was on the radio on when they were talking about being in a meeting. And they had, you know, they're talking for public input. So if anybody asked them a question, they said, that's not, you can't ask questions. This is not a Q&A session. And so, you know, it's all about accountability. I suspect that when it comes to election time again, like in Vancouver and in Clackamas County Commission, I suspect there's some people are going to get voted out. Because all I have to do is play the recording of the meetings. In more cases, and they didn't want to hear anything but what they wanted to hear. And they shut people down. And that's... And I thought of this kind of thing with Mark. I just came in and I said, he said, I talked for an hour. I said, an hour? Are you sure? Because that's not the way things tend to work. And I did have some questions. He was asked questions and talked to him about some things on a serious level. And it was just, he was still starving. It involves a person in the recreation department, how they relate to their swimming pool. They're really involved with it. And a lot of money was, you know, designated to the upfront and never showed anywhere. I mean, I won't get into that. But he depends on the fight. He felt pretty good that he had represented what he wanted to. One of the council members wanted to talk to him further because and I tried to talk him into getting on the council. Because he seemed to be a little more willing to get the citizen point of view rather than the other points of view. Anyway, Romans chapter 8 and verse 7, I'm going to take two or three of these if I can exercise self-control. Okay, and here, Romans chapter 8, and my verse is, I just was looking at it. I covered it up. I have more trouble with my notes, so I have to set them. Romans 8, Romans 1:29 on page 48, and Romans 1, verse 29. And it says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignancy, whisper, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful proud, and we won't read the rest of the list. But there in verse 29, we have our word. Okay, that's the problem with King James. I'm looking at the Greek. Before, right after murder. Okay, translated again. G-A-B. That's the word we're looking at there. 1 Corinthians, that's where I was supposed to go. I went back to the 2 Corinthians, and then depart. 1 Corinthians 1:11. 1:11 says, for it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. So the report came that there was this characteristic among the final Corinthians. Interesting, Corinth by the works of the flesh. So here's one of them listed. Chapter 3 and verse 3, listed with strife, with zeal, and division. So in 3:3, it's in a little small portion. It says, for you are yet carnal. Whereas there is envying, and the word that's translated envying is zeal, and strife, and divisions, which there's a taken problem there. Are ye not carnal and walk as men? And these people that deny carnality, you can't make it any clearer than it is in 1 Corinthians 3, and they want to change that and make it some other, and then you have verse that's quite identified with it. So those are the passages I've given you other material. Oh, I want to read that Barclay quote up on D on the top of the page. We have Barclay in his question experience. But no sin more commonly invades the church than errors. None is more destructive than Christian fellowship, but errors cannot gain an entry into the church if Christ be supreme there. It's kind of interesting. It reflects the view of Christ, and he's got Barclay picked up on that in that matter. I have the other passages where that's found listed on the floor in the bottom of the page, but we're just going to go quickly through that. So these are saying, I mean, if you're looking for a fight, I'm looking for an opportunity to contend, you're going to be contentious, you're going to stir up things, you want to argue, and I gave you a list of words in the bottom of that page that will help you understand this, that fit in there, that you can use that are somewhat synonymous. The next word is zeal. And that's translated emulations in the King James. I think I mentioned this before. I would love to have a better translation in the King James because it's so hard to take. But you know, we got that text problem in here. So they get out of alignment and the special problem in both letters when you look at it. Zeal is a rather busy word. It only occurs 43 times in some 6 different forms. And the normal noun is 17. The verb only occurs once. I mean, 12 times, pardon me. 12 times. And then we have some other derivatives. And so I just went ahead and listed them. If you get interested, you can look those up in English ones or somewhere. It's found in Acts 7 times, only once in the Gospels, and it's all over. The New Testament is in Paul, it's in James, but it's not in John or Peter. And when we talk about zeal, it can be positive or it can be negative. It's going to be a good kind of zeal. A lot of religious zeal is not a good zeal. And I just was reminded from some of the things I heard tonight of the zeal that was encouraged when I was growing up. And that zeal was, read your Bible, pray every day, and witness to your spiritual Christian. And this same witnessing, I just drove it in, drove it in, drove it in. Kind of interesting, they brought the Holy Spirit down in a minute. And so, for a number of years in my life, hundreds of tracts, hundreds of people. And I had to reconsider some of the things that went on. When I thought back, I think some people just wanted me to get off the back and they gave some assent to it. And so, I mean, I don't think that is God saved them with him anyway, but I, you almost had to put once in a while somebody was saved because you witnessed to them on your little Christian service report, which we had to do every week in Bible college. And you had to let them know in that manner. And they were, they wanted to get a wise experience. And it's kind of funny because I was doing all of these things. All 4 years of college I was out singing, and second year I started speaking. Third and fourth year I was preaching every service we sang. And so I was preaching more than any of the other guys in any of the classes in college except for the guys who were pastors. And then they said my last year, you need to have some other experience. And I had all kinds of things in my, and they didn't want me to sing in the last year. And I had a scholarship, so from it, that it probably wouldn't have totally broken my heart if I didn't get to being out on the road every weekend. And traveling between places and knowing you might be in at 2 o'clock in the morning, depending on which part of the Northern California where you're in. And that was a lot of it was zeal. And I kind of smile at Lutheran because a gal was been regular this year named Courtney. She's on the staff at Corban and she's involved with student recruitment. And when I think about this, the music groups for the student recruitment, that was our job to isolate on campus and to encourage them in their spiritual life as we knew it, and to try to get them to consider. And so we were smart enough to know that the Holy Spirit needed them there, because after a year of Bible college, you know that there's some people there who send them to Juvie Hall instead of whatever. Now, this was the reformatory. Some kids would come because their lives are going to be changed in Bible college. And so we always said, we learned pretty quickly, you said, you do what God wants you to do. This is a good option. And I'm intrigued as to how many people have went to Bible college that I, over the years, because of the ministry that we had, that are all over the world. Missionaries and pastors. I stop and I think, and there's just a huge number came, and we had a real key. Pastor sometimes just said, okay, there's this young man, home, and you are determined because you're going to need to talk to him because he needs to have somebody in his age group talk to him about his Christian life and do what God wants him to do. And that young man showed up just the next year. Big friend on it, and I haven't seen him for years and years. That's kind of interesting. But there was a lot of zeal in that kind of thing. You were driven, as it were, in a negative sense. And we have to be very wise in that matter. It would be so easy to be zealous be just for zeal's sake. And the atmosphere that is created in churches contributes to that kind of zeal. It's negative, and now it's negative. It's a negative drive that is constantly accepting, desiring, pursuing, perpetuating, and defending anything with its self-centered or evil intentions. There's a burning desire that is involved in zeal. The word zeal comes from a concept of burn. It's a burning desire. Now we've got anger, which is a slow-burning anger. It's not zeal, it's more fire-related than the anger. I made the note here that you have this burn concept in most photographers, most experts. And this constantly pressing toward a goal or objective. And using the goal is evil when we have the working flesh function. So, all zeal is not fleshly. A lot of zeal is fleshly. And so we can understand some of it. Barclay says of it in that sense, it's a sense of an envy or a jealousy, which are destructive of personal relationships and of individual happiness. This word is translated envy. Envy is, you don't have a regular envy word. I'm trying to remember. I'm not a Catholic, I don't know. The venial sins, I think one of them is envy in their list. They wouldn't put zeal in there, which is an interesting inside matter. As I've noted already, it will occur in a number of clusters. Let's get a couple of them. Let's just get a couple. I want to say James, because in James 3, there are a couple of verses where this word is used, and I think that will help be adequate for us to understand this. Hebrews James. Mm-hmm. before. Yeah. In James 3, I want James 3:14. 3:14 says, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, don't exult. It's not the boastman for glory, and it's not the glorian for glory. And lie not against the truth. And you have this word used with the word bitter, a bitter zeal, in this passage. Now, let's read on. I'm just going to read straight on through. In verse 15, it says, it's wisdom. He sent it not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demon-like. Where envy or zeal and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. And when you look at that word that's translated evil, it's not good evil. It's not that which is lacking in character. It's that which doesn't produce anything. And those three different words, this is fallow ground. It doesn't produce anything in this case. And so, two places where you can see that. Now you'll notice here you have this sense that zeal is found with this idea of strife. We haven't gotten there yet. It's rivalry, amethea. And we don't have another one who's Christ. That's what happens. Sometimes there are two works of Christ, three works of Christ, four works of Christ that accompany one another. And all that does is make things complicated. And you have more than one work of Christ working together. And so that's important to recognize. James 2 says you must. And you have a strong desire, you have not. You murder, and that's work of the flesh, murder. And you desire, or you're zealous, and you do not have the ability to obtain. You fight, and you war, and yet you have not because you ask not. But so you have works of the flesh continuing down in this section. Next thing you know, you get down to verse 4, and you have adultery, and then you have verse 5, and in verse 5 it is, Athona. I can't put it in, we haven't done that one yet either. So, you have a list of all of these things, down, I mean, all these passages, I would be tempted to go to some other testing field to try to move along tonight a little bit more. The next one is Thumos, which is a book of Wrath, page 51, and this is a fast fleshly displeasure in any situation. And I put it, you notice in the headings I've been putting a kind of a definition, and I guess I'll put it very similar later. And this is a boiling internal excitement stimulated by something external that sees or burns within a person. This is something that you have in you. Thumos occurs 19 times in its various forms, three various forms, in the New Testament. We do have it in the verb and the noun and the gospel once each. It's in Acts one time, but again, most of it is in grace revelation, except for Revelation, you've got 10 verses where you have the issues of this kind of wrath of God. It's not a word, it's a different word. And I did put that list down underneath C. Thumos, Orgay is this kind of anger. Orgay is a swelling up of, it's the balloon kind of thing. It blows up. And it's used of the Jeb period more often. And there's more wrath in heaven, it's all on earth. So there's an external hostility. Thumos is an internal anger that we have. It's slowly burning. And so I have my definition, and my spacing. I hate it when I have my pass out notes and I see my spacing working right to think where I should be. But I can't do it if I'm adding notes or doing something with notes because then it's not everything. So I'm short two lines in this one. My definition and part of this is complements of Microsoft Word. But I mean, it has a mind of its own. And that new one really has a mind of its own. But, it's not Windows 7, it's what they call it. It's that their office suite. And I just am learning. And, I mean, it's Python is a professional. So when he puts me on the computer, he loads it with the latest parties. And then I have to fight with it and learn how to go in and change things. And it's different. So I have my, I've been learning this one. No, I learned this one. Okay, so there's a simmering or swelling type of anger that can produce outbursts of anger, or it's an internal reaction of agitation against someone or something. I turned that one around there, right? I don't know, do we really get angry at things? We probably get more angry at ourselves when we have issues with things. In that matter, I have these little things that are irritants sometimes. I don't leave my front light on at night. I just, when I'm gone, I don't turn it on. I'd rather not advertise. I might not be there, especially when I'm in a point of bribery. So at night, sometimes I'm in a hurry to get home, and I have the hall light on, so there's enough light, and I have more trouble sometimes finding a keyhole with my key, so I get in, and I'm in a bit of a hurry. And I just, it's frustrating almost. I'm going to really get angry, because if I get angry, I think what happens would be I'd start Parkinsonian in responses, you know, reflexes. I'm not over security, but I try to do what I think is best. Somebody decided to break in while I'm going tonight, I left the radio on to that station. Whoever's preaching sounds terrible. like the phone call. I was in the middle of dinner tonight. And my phone rang. And I thought, I have my mouth full. I mean, how fast can you chew? Run your rings out. And I answered the phone, and it was somebody calling for my insurance agent, saying they appreciated my being a customer, and I needed anything to call on. What is there? I mean, it's funny how calls like that come in during dinner time. And I said, something I'm really concentrating. I got to do that a couple times on Saturday. I have all of these things. I'm lining them up in my head. I don't have them on paper. And I've got things going the way I want them to go. The phone rings. Half an hour later. Called me 3 months. And it cost me twice the time almost sometimes. And I come back and, I'm just right in those verges of doing it. Okay, let's go after some of these concepts of anger. I'm not going to go after the divine anger that's on 52 on page 1. I'm not going to go to Satan's anger at mid-trib when he's kicked out of heaven. I'm thankful I'm not going to be here when he's kicked out of heaven. When you have that double whammy when you have God's wrath administered during the trip period and then Satan's wrath and demons, it's going to be a good amount of time. And we won't even know about it. Matthew 2:16 uses it of Herod, and the wise men didn't come back because he didn't know that they were told not to. And they didn't come back. And in the end, he had the, what do they call it? There's a word that he used of the infants in Roman theology. Anyway, they kill you all the children. And there's a special, you know, they call it infant. Now, it's called infanticide. But there's a word they use. Jews, I'm not going to go to these passages, I can refer to them. This is the kind of anger the Jews had in the synagogue in Nazareth. And the anger filled them, and in the end, they wanted to kill them. And this was in Nazareth, our Lord, his hometown. The silversmiths in Ephesus had this kind of anger against Paul, because people were getting saved and they were running, I mean, it was affecting business. People get saved and they're no longer buying stuff made to idols. And so they were very unhappy because the bottom line got a little thin from what they wanted. I suspect they probably gouged everybody. And so they were, when you read it, and I don't know, it's just my analysis of human nature. So those are illustrations, and I have a list. You have angers in the plural, and second thing is hope. 20. It is a plural in Galatians 5. It's found in this as singular in Ephesians 4:31, Colossians 3:8. We won't go after those, but that's that kind of anger. The other kind, another work of the flesh, is number 5 in the middle of 53. And this is self-seeking factions, and we touched this word a minute ago. It's translated strife or rivalries. It's arithia, or arithia, it's I active in there as a foe. That's the way it is in Galatians 5. And this is a thing of self-promotion, elevating oneself, and that creates parties. Heresies create parties. This involves more personal parties. Heresies involve heretical doctrine parties. And this word involves personal parties, followers of men. It occurs many times in the Brethren and now in the New Testament. It is somewhat related, maybe, to the word eros we looked at before. There's a big discussion in the lexicons. I made the note in here so you can have it. It's used with zeal in a positive sense. It also has, it's in these clusters of unrighteousness. I smile when I look at Thayer's definition. He says to spin with wool or work in wool. And he pulls that out of classical literature when he uses that. And another definition in Green's little lexicon, he says to serve for hire, to serve a party. In other words, you're working for someone. And so my definition is a scheming by which one puts himself in good light by any method necessary while ignoring the rights of other people. And that doesn't quite match up with the unity in the body of Christ. And this whole idea of being in the oneness, being unified, takes counter to completely. And so in the classical Greek, you see someone who is trying to get into a political office by absolutely any way possible. So the elections, or they pull strings or make friends, and those issues were from back in the era of prior to the New Testament and during the New Testament. There's a lexicon called Dell Scott uses illustrations in the political arena, getting advancement political fraud is nothing modern. It has always been around forever. And interesting, we have a system that shouldn't be, but it tends to be conducive to political fraud. And I don't know what you think about it, but I don't have a whole lot of confidence in knowing my medical. I often wonder if I don't get counted, and I never remember the site. You can go on a website and find out if they counted your vote. I found out. And because when did I sign up to vote here? I signed up when I came, so I probably signed up in 1976. My signature? Who knows that it was quick compared to then? You know, I mean, you know, I always think when somebody gets old, I'm not quite as shaky as I get older yet. I'm expecting it someday, but the work's coming first. But I have certain characteristics that I kept, that I know, so that it's a marker. And so I have the way I pee on Spurbeck is pretty significant, and then when I end the K, I go around and I flip that one. And that, it's just natural reflex after a few years of it. So this idea of self-promotion and selfishness, and we have clusters in 2 Corinthians 12, we have it in 5:20 of Galatians, of course. We have it with zeal in James 3, verses 14 and 16, and we were there, so we've been to a couple passages. It's the concept of empty glory or vain glory in Philippians 2, 3. And I could go to Romans 2, but that's pretty long, and I'm not too worried about that. But I think we have an interesting one in Philippians 1, 16. 16 and 17. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians, there we go. 16 says, "For one preached Christ of contention, and not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds." And so the word here that has the idea of contention is the word we're looking at, but the other, of course, we have a contrast in one's preaching. And so someone who is preaching has a self-centered idea in this matter. And there's a rivalry there. It's always interesting how people follow men when it comes to preachers. And you have a loyalty to men in some places that I just like the guy. And when you hear me talk about a guy or somebody, and I call him a nice guy, you probably heard me do that. I tend to do that at least. Maybe more private than public. But somebody will ask me about someone, and I say, he's a nice guy. What that means is, as far as I know, he has no personal content, but he's a nice guy. You're not going to be upset to find somebody to be friendly and you like, but you're not going to know. And so, I know a lot of nice guys. And it's really sad when we see that kind of an issue in these matters. Okay, like I said, I told you I was in a hurry, and you've got these passages in here. Often it's undercover, and often it's pretty subtle in the way it's handled. And this new party is always going to be better than the old. And so that's tremendously interesting as we relate to Copernican. And here's where I want to go this word. I'd like to get off on that. I mean, go and tangle with a Satan material in the case. I don't know whether we can get that far. Envy in bottom page 55. And envy, discourse or envy, has the idea of displeasure with anything anyone has. That's a work in the flesh. It's a feeling of ill will or malice that resents benefits another person has. This word does occur a huge number of times. It occurs 10 times in the New Testament, some twice in the Gospel, 8 times in Great Revelation, and it's found in Paul and once in James, once in 1 Peter. And we did pass that at 2-1 was about a year ago, so you probably remember that when we were there in the vet train. My definition is letter C, number one. Feeling of ill will or malice against another person who has prospered, gained an advantage, or received a benefit that brings denial of one's good feelings for the other person to their gain and reacts with indignation or hope against that other person because of what they received. People are funny in these kinds of things. And I didn't understand this word in the flesh. As a kid, I remembered. I mean, I saw it. And I almost resented it. Because what would happen? My parents were some examples. They didn't make a lot. They ran for one of them. They were very, very careful with their money and their finances. And if there was something that they wanted or needed, it would take them a long time to save for it. It was always cash. I mean, they didn't have credit when I was growing up. I bought something. My dad had a Mexico gas card. And that was a good thing sometimes because if somebody came along working, because I got to from where we were. People would come in and they were always going to a funeral or I had a bunch of visitors at relative, or there was a whole bunch of stories. And my dad would try to read them. And anyway, we would do his car couple Mexico station. The owner was a friend. And he'd say, I'm sending this car down, and I came from gas, and it's on my card, and I'll be down with it later. And it worked that way. And so that was one of the things that happened. But because he didn't have a lot of an interest in it, he did something. I think the thing that stands out in my mind, I don't know how long my dad stayed to go in a record drill. And it was a drill that had all kinds of fun things. These kids, when the guy had a book that would sit on the disc and you could shine your car open with it and all of this stuff. And it was not, it wasn't expensive when I looked back at it, but man, it was interesting. There were people in the church that resented the fact that my dad had gotten that. And we were, and it was, I don't think there was a family in the church that couldn't afford it. And he did that, and as a kid, I saw that, and I thought, this is not right. This isn't right. And that's this work on flesh. And so it's translating envy and passages. And it's very subtle. This feeling, and it perverts the reason. Some people don't think. And so they want to do well for somebody who has some so-called misfortune in this matter. And it's interesting when we, let's go ahead and look in Matthew 27. I've been trying to avoid these gospel tales, but this is going to be good to point out. When we understand Pilate and the comment in Matthew and in Mark was Matthew 27 and verse 18. And we'll go to 17. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom do you desire that I will release unto you? Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ. For he knew that for envy they had delivered Jesus. So when the Jews delivered Jesus to the secular authority, they did it from envy and in that. This was the work of the flesh because honestly, he was doing teaching and doing things they could not do, and they did not like his quote-unquote instruction in the matter. And these same Jews were the ones that would have liked him to put him in as the king of Israel under their thumb. And of course, that wouldn't happen. And so they ended up out of this concept of envy, and I'll get to the illustration of it in that matter. I'm moving quickly to where we have clusters in five places. It's a problem. Okay, there we go. Do not be last too often. It'll be just about. And that is around Philippians 1, 15 and 16. And we're going to look at Galatians 5 and 26. Philippians 1, verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ, even all of them. Just a second, I need to take a look up here. Yeah, okay. Some indeed preach the Christ even of envy and of strife. And some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of Christ of contention, not sincerely, and doesn't meet the test, supposing that affliction to my bonds. They deliberately perverted the message so they could get back at Paul to make his imprisonment hotter. Would it be their concern about what they were teaching other people? And so that's what he's discussing here in this letter. And it seems, well, there was an intimate link between Rome and Philippi and believers, which is kind of interesting because you had people who had been with Paul and went back to Philippi. And so that was the problem of he would worry about this, and they would do it deliberately just to show their envy. And Galatians 5:26. Let us therefore not become vainglorious, but empty glory. Provoking one another, envying one another. There's two one another's here, one another at the same time. Don't be doing this to other believers. Don't forget, the Galatians had a problem. And their problem was they were looking by the law and trying to impress so that they could impress people. When you're trying to impress people, this word envy is a very important word. Somebody, you know, it's just a nature thing. And so that's why this is here. And so they were provoking one another at the same time, envying one another at the same time. Okay, next word is going to be murders. And I don't know that I dare try to get it in the next 6 minutes. So we will come back here, and there is a textual problem with murders, and that's one reason we have so many things trying to line words up in the text. Furthermore, there are order issues in Galatians 5. So we'll see where I land. Now, if I win the or lose, I don't know, win or lose that argument, you might have, it's just paper is a problem. You don't need more paper. I had it out of paper at the second time last night, and I thought, there's no people who want this to be a bad argument. By the way, for our evening, to be able to identify these working professionals when we are tempted to function in these areas and catch the bust, and when it becomes a temptation to be able to do that, that's where they need to be.
this is the victory we have in Christ. We thank you, and we trust you for all things that are in our lives about us in Christ's name. Amen.